So faith lessons. As we have been following the disciples along with Jesus in the gospel accounts, we've seen that Jesus has power over the wind and the waves. He has power over the demons. We saw that last week where the demonic man over in the Decapolis region where the Greeks were. And today, as we go along with the disciples, we'll follow Jesus back across the lake, and we're going to see that Jesus has the power to heal and that he also has the power to raise the dead. You know, our passage today will have one event, one story that's interrupted by another story. And that delay just may have cost a young girl her life because Jesus wasn't there in time to heal her before she died. And these two stories, they could stand alone. One of the gospel writers could have told us about the woman with the infirmity for 12 years that was seeking healing. And another gospel writer could have told us about the 12-year-old daughter of Jairus, you know, the synagogue ruler. And that would have been legit to tell those as separate stories. And yet, they're all slammed together as it happened. So our story today is found in Mark chapter 5, verses 21 to 43. It's also in Matthew chapter 9 and Luke chapter 8. It's about two ladies, a grown one and a little girl of 12. One is alive, the other one dies. One reaches out desperately for Jesus' help. The other could not help herself, but her father seeks out Jesus for help. One had suffered 12 years with her illness. The other was only 12 years old. One had spent all of her money on doctors and was even worse. The other also wasn't saved by the doctors. So let's begin the story at verse 21. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake shore. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly for him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so she may be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. Well, that was a pretty bold thing for the synagogue ruler to do, to go and ask for Jesus' help, whereas a lot of the leaders and authorities were not too pleased with Jesus, and they might have started, you know, trying to kick him out of their different synagogues and stuff. Here the synagogue leader, in front of everybody, goes and bows down in front of Jesus and begs for help. A large crowd was following and pressed all around. Have you ever been in a really tight, large crowd? I think, you know, I've seen pictures of the Tokyo subway, people getting on, and there are paid people who are there just to shove to make sure as many get in the car as possible. So you can imagine it's pretty tight quarters in there. When we were coming back from Israel, we landed in Istanbul, and they had us ride a little shuttle. And they didn't have any people jamming us into the shuttle, and yet I think it was a bit more crowded than us Americans are used to anyway. Kind of different. In our Bible story, a large crowd was walking with Jesus to the synagogue official's home. So it was crowded. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. You know, modern medicine can do wonders, but when they can't figure out what is wrong with you, that can definitely be pretty frustrating. When they can't come up with an effective treatment, you know, then we can suffer and wonder like this woman in our story. We get, you know, and when they don't have answers, maybe we get only partial relief or no relief. Did our woman get well when she put her hand on Jesus? Apparently you're asleep. The answer is yes. Did she get healed when she touched Jesus' garment? Yes. All right. You know, Mark got to use then his favorite, one of his favorite words. He said immediately. Mark seems impressed how quickly Jesus' miracles happened. He uses the word immediately many times in his gospel. And so here in verse 29, he says, immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body she was freed from her suffering. Let's read on. At once Jesus realized that that power had gone out from him, and he turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched me?" "You see the people crowding you," the disciples answered, "and yet you can ask who touched me?" And there's that word again. Or it would have been there, where it says at once. If I had not changed the version, it would have said immediately. There's that word again. The woman touched Jesus, and immediately Jesus perceived power had gone from him to her. And he said, "Who touched my garments?" Must have been quite a press of people walking along for Peter to say, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing you." That verse is actually from Luke's account. Continuing our reading. But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." Why was she afraid? We'll look at that soon. But now, the synagogue ruler's daughter. While Jesus was speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Do not be afraid, just believe." Jairus, he'd been afraid of losing his daughter for who knows how long. He just received the worst news a parent can ever get. Your child's dead. But Jesus said, "Do not be afraid any longer, only believe." That would be quite a challenge. To give up his logic, his reasoning, to give up his fears and only believe. Have you ever faced a time when your head said one thing but God was saying another? Sometimes our head says no one could ever forgive that. Sometimes our head says, you know, nobody would ever trust God now. God can't do anything. But Jesus said to him, "Do not be afraid any longer, only believe." Sometimes we think, you know, my bad habits are so ingrained, I'll never change. It's like on the CBS sports commercial or whatever, the agony of defeat. There's no way I'll ever change. But Jesus says, "Do not be afraid any longer, only believe." And that would be impossible if God wasn't in the room with us all the time. Amen? Good. Did all that believing Jesus business work out for the man? Let's see. He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. So that is, Jesus didn't. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw the commotion, the people crying and wailing loudly, and he went in and he said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." Now, if a patient dies and the doctor tells you, "Oh, they didn't really die, they're just sleeping," soon enough, you'll know the doctor's not telling the truth, because the doctor can't then walk into the patient room and say, "Mr. Smith, get up." It just won't work that way for the doctor. So verse 30 begins, they began to laugh at him when Jesus said, you know, "She's just asleep." It would seem laughable if you weren't part of the group knowing what was going to happen. They laughed and Jesus just took it. Following Christ, sometimes people won't understand us. And we may just have to take some ridicule too. But Jesus sent them out. Quite a guest to your house. He just speaks to everybody else, "Get out," takes authority, and people obey. He sent everybody out except for mom and dad and the three disciples. They began laughing at him. He put them all out. He took along the child's father and mother and his companions, and he entered the room where the child was. So Jesus then took charge. He walked all the guests and mourners out. Then Jesus, he raised his staff and with a loud commanding voice. No, it's nothing like that. It's not like Moses parting the Red Sea. That's not what happened. Taking the child by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha kum," which translated means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." And she did. Here Mark gets to use his favorite word again. 42, immediately the girl got up and began to walk, for she was 12 years old. And immediately they were completely astounded. So Mark got to use his favorite word, immediately, twice there. Immediately the girl got up, immediately they were astounded. The parents were astounded, and who wouldn't be? And he gave them strict orders that no one should know about this, and he said that something should be given her to eat. So some observations might be, oh, God can heal. He has the power to heal poor woman. His commands brought the girl back to life. God can make whole. Now, you might wonder why I added that God can make whole. The woman he healed immediately after touching him. But when Jesus has his little interview with her, he says, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." You know, and that's a blessing. Go in peace and be healed. Matthew records, he said, "Take courage, your faith has made you well. At once the woman was made well." So that's why that may be a second more complete healing, and perhaps her needs were more than just physical healing. Sometimes there are other scars, other sore spots that we really could use God's touch. And God can raise the dead. You know, dead means game over. It means sayonara. As I think of Jesus coming and waking up this girl, you know, after she's dead, it seems way too late. And like the lyrics of one of the Christian songs, you know, and like a hero who takes the stage when we're on the edge of our seats saying, no, no, it's too late. But it wasn't too late. The little girl got up and walked around immediately. Some words of caution. Just because we have faith doesn't mean God will give us what we want. God is our Lord. God is sovereign. He's not our fairy godfather, so to speak. And you know, miracles don't happen every day. If they happened every day, you know, in a big dramatic way, we'd stop seeing it as a miracle. And Sunday, at the end of Sunday school, I said, I wish we always had those little flames above that indicated, you know, that person's filled with the Holy Spirit. It'd make life a lot easier. You see who's got the flame and who doesn't. But you know, after 200 or 300 years, they'd have some scientific explanation. And no, it doesn't really mean anything like that. It means something else. They might even have some ways to make fake flames up there. And who knows? Second observation, this healing happened when? Well, the girl's healing happened when her dad prayed, requested Jesus' help. And so that's where prayer comes in. And, you know, the woman's healing came when she believed and she acted on her faith. Jairus, he earnestly asked for help. He didn't just send a note with somebody, hey, Jesus, come by my house today if you have a minute. I mean, he earnestly came for a leader like him to come and you could say grovel at the ground, please, please help me, means he was asking pretty seriously. James says, among other things, the people don't have because they don't ask. James 4:2, you do not have because you do not ask. Healing happens when we risk social rejections pursuing his help. Why was it so hard for the woman to come and admit she was healed by touching Jesus? Could it be she broke the rules and didn't want to admit it? I mean, she had this issue of blood for 12 years. 12 years she was unclean. She was expected to stay out of the way, expected to stay home. She would have been expected to yell, unclean, unclean, and keep away from people. But she just plows through the crowd until she can touch him. She defies what was expected of her. She risked being ostracized, thrown out of town, or worse, to seek healing from Jesus. The crowd could have been very angry or vicious with her. And then there was Jesus. In a sense, he stole power from her. And what if he wasn't loving and kind? What if he was vindictive and spiteful? To seek her healing, the woman risked much. And sometimes, depending on the circles we run in, pursuing Jesus will seem ridiculous and unpopular, and we might even be ridiculed because what we say sounds like nonsense to our friends. To pursue healing from Jesus takes some risk. Healing also happens when others pursue it for us. Referring back to the dad. There are many things we can't do for each other and things they can't do for us. I can't make your heart clean. God can. And we can't pray someone in or out of heaven, but we can ask God to heal others. If Jairus hadn't tracked down Jesus and begged him to come heal his dying child, his child wouldn't have been raised from the dead that day. Who should I or you then be praying for? Let's pause a moment and quietly pray for the person or people that God brings to our mind. So let's bow our heads. Father, many of us, I included, don't pray enough. for people. Help us to remember how you answered prayer in healing a daughter. Help us to remember to pray for those you put on our hearts. All right. Healing happens when catalyst is applied. Years ago, one of the money-making schemes I ran across was you get resin and you get these molds and you make things in the molds. My best seller, that means I sold two or three, was a golden eagle mold. And so did it, got the resin, the catalyst in there and poured it in the mold and some black dye. So it was black. Mom got me some gold paint to highlight the wings and the beak and stuff with it. And but you know, that resin wouldn't dry for an awful long time if I hadn't put those few drops of catalyst in there. Consider Jesus' advice to Jairus when he heard that his daughter was dead. But Jesus, overhearing what had been spoken, said, "You do not be afraid any longer, only believe. Do not be afraid any longer, only believe." Well, that can be a tough job. If believing God is hard for you at some point, well, pray what another father prayed. "I do believe, but help my unbelief." After God heals, did you notice God said to give the girl some food? So he said, and he gave him strict orders to tell no one about this, and he said that something should be given her to eat. He healed her sickness. He raised her from the dead, but he didn't bring her back full of dinner, clean, and in a new nightgown. Jesus did what was necessary, but he left the day-to-day work of raising this child to the parents. And if God heals you physically, if God heals you inwardly, cleans up your mind and heart, that doesn't mean you have nothing left to do. You have a life to live, decisions to make, work to do. As disciples of Christ, we need to know Jesus has the power to calm the wind and the waves. Jesus has the power over demons. Jesus has power to heal. According to his promises, when we repent, he always forgives. When we ask him in our heart, he always comes in. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and I will dine with him and he with me." Or another verse being, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." But other things like our health or wealth are not always going to be answered with a yes to our prayers. If his answer to our prayers was always yes, he might be Santa Claus, but he wouldn't be God. When healing is what we desire, we should be asking for healing. We should be willing to risk ridicule. We should choose to replace fear with faith. After he heals, if he heals, be ready to go on with the business of living. Now let's pray and close. Father, we thank you for this day.